Ms. Paul joined the Department of Population Health at NYU School of Medicine as a research coordinator in September of 2011. She has an MS in bioethics, policy, and law from Arizona State University and more than 6 years of research experience with mixed method studies. She's also a doctoral candidate in the public health program at NYU, and her research is supported by a Junior Investigator Award from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
Good morning, everyone. This is a team of people that worked on this project with me. Today I'm going to be presenting results from a survey that was conducted among a sample of providers working at small practices in New York City. None of the people working on this project have any relevant relationships to disclose. As mentioned, I work on this project with my team, an evaluation team at NYU School of Medicine, the Department of Population Health, and we partnered with a group in the Primary Care Information Project at the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and I'll get to that group in just a moment. So the Primary Care Information Project, I'll refer to it as PCIP, was established in 2005 to assist safety net practices with basically EHR implementation, with the ultimate goal of improving population health outcomes in disadvantaged neighborhoods in New York City. There are over 7,000 practices now involved in PCIP. It's hard to keep, I apologize if anyone from PCIP is here, providers are constantly enrolling, so it's very prevalent in the community. For practices that enrolled in PCIP between 2007 and 2009, those practices were actually given a level one capable EHR software license, along with tech support and QI visits, and also the offer of assistance with an NCQA PCMH application. And so our sample is drawn from that group of practices who enrolled in the program between 2007 and 2009. So this project is a response to an RFA on transforming primary care. The goal of this group of grants is to understand what transformation looks like. So this was not a prospective evaluation. It was a retrospective study of transformed practices. And so although ARC was very interested in transformed practices, they didn't impose a definition. And so we each had to come up with our own definition during the application phase. So our definition of transformation was quite broad. We defined it as any practice that has had an EHR in place for at least a one-year period of time and had received at least two QI visits from QI specialists working within the PCIP team at the Department of Health. And so we anticipated that we would capture practices along the spectrum of transformation. These were not going to be practices that had all been transformed for 5 years, and we knew that going in. I mentioned that we worked with small practices, and our definition of small was five or fewer FTE providers. So we knew a few things about small practices before we launched this project. We knew that they experienced barriers to achieving formal recognition. The extent of medical homeness is directly correlated with practice size. And another study found that they actually have reported that their resources are too limited to be able to apply for formal recognition. However, these practices are providing care to a very large population. In 2010, nearly 70% of all office-based visits were to a small practice that met our definition of a small practice. And finally, we know that small practices are understudied when it comes to health reform and PCMH in general, or in particular. So the study questions that I'll be focusing on today are what dimensions of PCMH have small practices achieved and to what extent, and to what extent is looking like a PCMH associated with actual formal recognition from NCQA. The data that all of our data on PCMH characteristics came from a survey that we developed. We developed the survey based on the seven principles of PCMH, but we used validated items from other surveys to construct our own survey. So we excluded pediatric-only practices and specialty practices from our sample. So this was really small practices serving adult populations for primary care. And we ended up with 131 practices in our final sample. 48% of those were solo providers, and 43% had recognition as of February 2012. We conducted our survey in August of 2012, so this is sort of going in, what things look like going into fielding our survey. And as mentioned, we were guided by the joint principles of PCMH that were developed in 2007 by a group of by several physician groups. I will note that we excluded payment reform. Once we started developing our survey, it became this, you know, monstrous thing, and payment reform it just didn't really jive with the rest of the material. And so we made a decision very early on, actually in the application phase, to exclude that from our survey. So we relied on the joint principles and existing validated items to construct our survey, as mentioned, but we recast it for a small practice environment and piloted it with small providers working in small practices in the community to make sure that it really resonated with them and that it was comprehensive and coherent. And we fielded it mostly online, but found that we actually did have to do a paper push at the end. Even though these are all providers who are working with advanced EHR systems every day, they really wanted a paper copy. So I think about 20% of our respondents were on paper, the rest on Qualtrics online survey. And so our final sample was 83 with a 63% response rate. So what did those practices look like? They were mostly solo providers. They were pretty experienced in general. They mean 14 years in the practice. And they were generally working with really small staff. And in some cases, they were only working with, it was one provider working with one non-provider staff member. And they were very busy. So if you break this 6,500 visits a year down, it comes out to about 18 visits a day if you're open 7 days a week. So they're really busy. And they were serving an underserved, a really needy population. So over 50% were either uninsured or on Medicaid. But this was also by design because, as I mentioned, PCIP really targets practices in low-income areas working with this sort of population. So 50% of our 83 respondents had some sort of NCQA recognition during the time of survey, so in last summer, summer of 2012. 32 had level one, and it was nice to see that 14 actually had achieved level three. They got assistance with the level one application, but they really had to maintain recognition and apply for future recognition on their own. Among those who did have recognition, their reasons for applying were to improve patient care and to increase their practice revenue. And this is a check all question, so that's why you see 281% there. Reasons for not applying were remarkably inconsistent. So the most populated response to this was that they did not know much about PCMH, but that was only 20% of the providers who did not apply, and so it was really quite a spread of reasons there. And I found this shocking. So of those without formal recognition, only 5%, which was two providers, planned to apply in the future. For that question, I sort of assumed people would say, oh, I just haven't gotten to it, but I'm going to do it eventually, and they were really sort of set, you know, we are not planning on doing this in the future. So that adds a little bit more clarity. When you look at these two columns, the left middle is PCMH certification, on the right, you know that those are really distinct groups. Those are not people who have the same sort of mindset when it comes to formal recognition. So although I've divided it up so that you can compare them, there actually are a lot of similarities among respondents, and we'll see this as I go through a few other slides of results. Practices with formal recognition were significantly more likely to use some sort of formal performance management system. However, they really are comparable to those without PCMH certification on a number of other measures. And providers without certification, patients at those practices were more likely to always see the same provider. And I should say that the solo providers were split evenly across groups. So So we had over 100 items in our survey like this. I mean, a few of them were basic demographic info for the provider in practice, but we did have a lot of content that was closely related to the 7 principles, or in our case, 6 principles of PCMH. So we decided to score by domains. So we sort of aggregated questions up into a standardized domain score that was on a 0 to 1 scale. And each domain was made up of several questions. And so I picked this one, patient has a personal physician, because there's only 2 items. Some of our domains have many, many more questions in them. So here are the key domain scores by recognition status. As you can see, it's sort of the same trend that you saw with the individual items. Practices with formal recognition tend to score a little bit higher than those without recognition, but these differences are not significant, generally speaking, except in the case of team-based care, in which providers with formal recognition were much more likely to have team-based care in place of their practice. Access, again, providers working in practices without PCMH certification had a higher enhanced access score. And by enhanced access, I mean that they made themselves available to patients in some evenings and weekends. So there are subdomains within, we had individual questions and then subdomains that were discrete ideas behind PCMH, and then we also had the larger domains. So these are some examples of subdomains, and the number that's in parentheses next to the subdomain just corresponds to the number domain here that you see. So for example, concern about non-medical issues is what we called it. This is really sort of going above and beyond and talking to your patients about their life and what's going on with them. So you're screening for depression, but in addition, you might also be asking about, you know, so you're not depressed, but what are some things that stress you out in your life, you know, finances, things like that, or, you know, at least responding to patients when they raise those issues. And so that particular subdomain contributed to the whole person orientation domain. So that's what the subdomains were. And we see a very similar trend across subdomains relative to the key domain scores. So you see that the practices with PCMH certification score a little bit higher in most areas, again, except for the ease of access subdomain, and score significantly higher in the top of the skill set subdomain. So this was making sure that this has a lot to do with team-based care. So you have nurses working in the practice, but you're also using his or her skills and not just including them on the care team, but not really letting them do any patient care. So that's it. I will move on to conclusions. I think I have about 30 seconds. Okay, all right. So in general, we saw that small practices really are fulfilling some key dimensions of patient-centered medical wholeness, but that these dimensions, that formal recognition was not a significant predictor of the vast majority of these dimensions, whether it was at the individual question level, the subdomain level, or the domain level. And then finally, it's really important to remember our sample is sort of likely to be the best case scenario when it comes to achievement of formal recognition, because they did have so much assistance. They had the software license, technical assistance, and assistance with the application if they wanted it. And so our main conclusion is that, yes, that small practices really are the discrepancy between looking like a medical home in our sample and actually, you know, having the letter of medical home suggests that they do experience barriers. And that's it.